Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, January 24th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
China restricts travel for at least 40 million people as the death toll climbs from the coronavirus.
U.S. futures and European stocks gain while markets in Asia close for the New Year holiday.
And shares of Intel climb as cloud computing drives a surge in demand for chips.
House Democrats and President Trump's impeachment trial return for their final day of arguments. Plus, experts say Australia's wildfires will impact the weather. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Serena Williams is out of the Australian Open. Coco Gauff still in. She beat Naomi Osaka. The Lakers beat the Nets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by IBKR, the professional's gateway to the world's markets. Their clients enjoy lowest cost access to stocks, options, futures, forex, and fixed income from a single integrated account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the final trading day of the week. 6:01 on Wall Street. I mean, check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 57. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 1.25%. CAC in Paris up 1.1%. And the FTSE 100 up 1.5%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up about the same. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 1.73%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 23 cents at $55.36 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.33%. Or $5.50 at $15.66.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1036 against the dollar. The yen 109.56. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the latest developments on the coronavirus out of China, with Beijing rushing to halt the spread of the disease. Here with details is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The World Health Organization stopped short of calling this a global health emergency. China has implemented restrictions on travel and public gatherings in Wuhan and also in many surrounding areas, and Hong Kong, Macau, and Beijing have canceled holiday activities. Now, most cases remain mild, with only about one-fourth of them developing more severe disease. Most of those who died have had other health conditions. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And public anger is bubbling up in China as the government restricts travel for 40 million people. We get more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
Complaints are growing rapidly on social media about everything from a shortage of hospital beds, people getting turned away from being able to see doctors, even if they have a fever, because of the lack of health care, and also expensive grocery prices. And the top levels of government have pledged this all-out effort to contain the outbreak, even Xi Jinping and Premier Li Keqiang saying this needs to be resolutely curbed and officials cannot be trying to cover up any of these cases, as was the case during the SARS outbreak.
At least 26 people have now died from the virus, with one victim as young as 36.
As concerns over the virus spread this week, stocks in China fell 4%. So far, there's been little impact on U.S. or European equities and no major concern about the effect on global growth. Tom Orlick is chief economist for Bloomberg Economics.
If in a week's time we're in a world where this is looking like it's escalating, it's going to be easier to put some concrete numbers on the economic impact. It's also possible that in a week's time, this will look much more contained and we'll be looking at a moderate impact on China's retail sales or services sector, but nothing which looks like a macro impact.
While Disney is temporarily closing its Shanghai Disney Resort, McDonald's is halting operations in 5 Chinese cities, and several events to mark the Lunar New Year have been canceled.
The impact on stocks is minimal today, with many markets in Asia closed for the holiday. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed slightly higher in Tokyo, while Australia's ASX 200 closed near all-time highs in Sydney. The Hang Seng Index reversed earlier losses to finish slightly higher. Asian stocks snapped their recent winning streak this week, down some 1.2% since last Friday, as the fear of the coronavirus spreading hit tourism, retail, and Macau casino stocks. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. Turning to Europe now, is policy from the European Central Bank on autopilot? Market participants
participants say yes. They currently predict no move from the ECB this year. But President Christine Lagarde is pushing back. She spoke with Bloomberg from the World Economic Forum in Davos.
Let's look at how the economy evolves. That's what we do. We need to be fact-driven. We need to be clear in our communication, and we will be. And I'm saying today, don't assume that it will be on autopilot.
Markets currently see just a 9% chance the ECB raises rates this year. Bloomberg customers can access the data by typing WIRP Go on the terminal.
Meantime, PMI data out of Europe show growth remains muted. A composite purchasing managers index for the euro area held at 50.9 in January, falling short of estimates. A manufacturing reading came in at 47.8, and that topped expectations, though it remains in contraction territory.
Up next, we get a PMI reading on U.S. manufacturing at 9:45 a.m. on Wall Street. Here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
2019 was a tough year for manufacturers, and it looks like 2020 is poised for a sluggish start. The closely watch ISM factory index has signaled contraction since August. The Federal Reserve in its Beige Book Economic Survey cited job cuts and slower hiring. That said, an easing in trade tensions could provide a buffer in the months ahead. Maybe. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Shares of Intel gaining after earnings topped estimates. The chipmaker also gave a bullish forecast for the year. Anand Srinivasan covers Intel for Bloomberg Intelligence.
This is the story that we want to see from Intel. We think the numbers are actually still conservative. They've guided up for the next quarter. That is still not fully reflected in the full year numbers, and the stock is reacting commensurately.
And Intel up about 6% in early trading.
Eight former executives from Wells Fargo are facing record fines. U.S. regulators are seeking $59 million in fines related to the firm's banking scandal. Former CEO John Stumpf will receive a ban from the industry. We get more from Bloomberg's Lana Nguyen.
Not only is he banned from the industry, he also gets a $17.5 million fine. On top of that, other executives from the company, including the head of the community bank, being fined $25 million. So these are huge numbers. This is something we've never seen before. It's unprecedented, both these levels and also the seniority of the people who are facing these fines.
Now, former CEO John Stumpf has agreed to his penalty, while Carrie Tolstead, who leads Wells Fargo's community bank, plans to fight her fine. S&P futures higher by 7 points right now. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures a gain of almost 30. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's happening around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. On their second day, House prosecutors expanded their case against President Trump during his impeachment trial, arguing his actions to withhold military aid to Ukraine and block a congressional inquiry were clear violations under the U.S. Constitution.
If right doesn't matter, we're lost.
Before finishing up the evening, lead House impeachment manager Adam Schiff reiterated that the American people deserve a president they can count on.
And you know, you can't trust this president to do what's right for this country. You can trust he will do what's right for Donald Trump.
House Democrats say Trump's stonewalling puts, quote, Nixon to shame. Republican Senator Rick Scott.
They've talked about the same stuff every day. You realize that's all they did with the, that they've done it now for three days in a row.
Alan Dershowitz, a member of President Trump's legal team and Harvard Law professor emeritus, spoke with Bloomberg's June Grasso about the Democrats' impeachment case.
I don't see any case against the president for there to be cracks. The most important thing is whether it charges impeachable offenses, and obstruction of Congress and abuse of power simply are not constitutionally permissible offenses to allow impeachment.
The impeachment trial resumes later today, with the defense presenting their case Saturday. The Trump administration says it is putting new policies in place to prevent pregnant women from entering the United States. President Trump had campaigned on preventing children of migrants from claiming birthright citizenship. Wildfires in Australia are expected to increase carbon dioxide levels around the world to record levels. The Met Office, which is Britain's official forecaster, said the unprecedented fires raging in Australia may have an influence on weather patterns and global ecosystems this year. The concentration of CO2 in the atmosphere is predicted to peak at above 417 parts per million in May, making it one of the largest annual increases since measurements began in 1958. Award-winning PBS journalist Jim Lehrer has died at age 85. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, women's tennis, Australian Open, two big stories. The loss suffered by 38-year-old Serena Williams, followed by the win achieved by 15-year-old Coco Gauff. Serena with her earliest Aussie Open defeat in 14 years. She had 56 unforced errors. She lost 7-5 in the third to Wang Qiang of China. Serena still hasn't won a major in 3 years. Stuck on 23 Grand Slams, still one shy of Margaret Court's record.
You know, it's not even about the slams. It's about just me playing good tennis, and I didn't do that today. And that is more disappointing. So it's not even about the win, or it's just more about I'm better than that. And that is what it is for me today.
Gauff burst onto the scene last year's Wimbledon. She lost at the U.S. Open to Naomi Osaka, but she just upset Osaka, the defending Aussie Open champ, 6-3, 6-4. And another upset could be brewing. John Millman won the first set from Roger Federer. Lakers enjoyed their trip to New York, beat the Knicks at the Garden, beat the struggling Nets at Barclays, 128-113. LeBron James, 27 points, triple-double. Kenny Atkinson's Nets have lost 5 in a row, 10 of 12.
We're not an elite team, I can tell you that. I think we're, you know, obviously went through a tough stretch, and you know, we're surviving right now. I'll continue to say, Brian, that as we get healthier, as we get some, more consistent with our lineups.
Two New York press conferences today at Citi Field. They welcome in new Mets manager Luis Rojas, and at MetLife, they say goodbye to Eli Manning. Farmers Insurance Golf, Torrey Pines, Tiger Woods' first round of 2020, 369, 3 shots off the lead. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, with just 9 days till the San Francisco 49ers and Kansas City Chiefs face off at the Super Bowl, who better to talk to tonight on Bloomberg's Business of Sports show than the president of the 49ers, Al Guido. Tune in for details on the financial implications associated with your team reaching the big game. You can hear it tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio, or subscribe to the Bloomberg Business of Sports show wherever you get your podcasts. Futures S&P higher by almost 8 points right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow at 6:17 on Wall Street. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The Lunar New Year holiday kicks off amid mounting panic over China's coronavirus. Citizens are increasingly critical and anxious as travel restrictions now hit at least 40 million people. Banks have started allowing U.S. clients to buy research without paying a steep tab for trading services. The shift may be the biggest U.S. fallout yet from sweeping European MiFID II rules. Jamie Dimon is being rewarded for another record profit for J.P. Morgan Chase. The CEO is getting more than $31 million in compensation for 2019. And PMI data out of Europe show growth remains muted. A composite purchasing managers index for the euro area held at 50.9 in January, falling short of estimates. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 7.5 points. Dow futures up 70. NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 1.73%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.51%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 24 cents at $55.35 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $7 to $15.64.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1032 against the dollar. British pound 1.3083 and the yen 109.62. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the struggle over calling witnesses in President Trump's impeachment trial is escalating as House Democrats say they will wrap up their case today by focusing on White House stonewalling House impeachment managers will have another day to convince a handful of Republicans to vote with Democrats to subpoena witnesses and documents before Trump's lawyers take the Senate floor to present their defense. Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders lead the Democratic field in a national poll. The 7 News Emerson College poll shows the former vice president with 30% support, followed closely by the Vermont senator at 27%. The poll conducted from January 21st through the 23rd has a margin of error of 4.1%. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Wizards won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:20 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. But we want to go to Davos, Switzerland now as we head into the final day of the World Economic Forum, the annual gathering of global elites, among them Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Bosak, part of our team covering this year's forum. Good morning, Shanali. Nice to have you with us. Of course, climate change has been the overriding theme at this year's forum. How is the issue being played out? Is it does it seem to be taken seriously, or is it really just to, you know, coin a phrase, hot air?
Listen, it's definitely taken seriously, but there is a difference between how everyone is handling it. Central bankers seem very focused on it and want to do something about being able to penalize people who really don't take it seriously. But then privately, you have bankers and asset managers that understand the limitations of what they can do. They can't just pull back completely from the oil industry, from fossil fuel financing. And so they want more guidelines on what they really ought to be doing.
One comment that seems to have resonated quite a lot this week came on Bloomberg Surveillance with Bridgewater's Associates Co-Chief Investment Officer Bob Prince, saying he thinks the boom or bust cycle is over. How is that being received?
So on one hand, you have a lot of exuberance over here. Remember, yes, everyone's been talking about climate change. Why aren't they talking about the markets? Because they're not really all that worried about them. But then on the other hand, if you talk to anybody, they see Davos as a contrarian indicator and that there could be real trouble ahead. So no, not everybody agrees with Bob Prince, that's for certain. But what he's saying is that these central banks have really propped up the markets in a way that we will continue to see things floating north for a while. And there are people that do believe that.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the debate that we are starting to see play out among central bankers as they've started to descend on Davos. There's a lot of talk that ultra-low interest rates have kind of pushed the central banks into a cul-de-sac of their own making.
That's certainly true. We had Christine Lagarde, who spoke exclusively to Francine Lacroix, and she had said, listen, don't underestimate the creativity of central banks. So you do have the defense on the central banking side, but you have others who believe, listen, they've just propped up the economy too much, credit is overextended, and there can be real repercussions for that if there is some turbulence in the market.
Of course, every major U.S. bank had their CEOs at Davos pretty much the entire week. What have they been getting out of this forum?
So people forget that for a lot of these people, they come to the forum to understand what the global discussion is. But for the bank CEOs, many of them have come with their entire investment banking workforce, who love the fact that there are technology company CEOs here, that there are sovereign wealth funds here, and they are ready to plant the seeds for the next big deals and global expansion for those teams.
What are the tech CEOs saying about some of the issues that have been cropping up at the forum this year?
So the beautiful thing about Davos is that you do have regulators and you do have politicians and tech company CEOs in the same room. And you hear the tech industry really reaching out saying, we believe in AI, but we also believe AI needs regulation. So let's work together. Let's see how that really works out this year, especially in an election year in the U.S. when a lot of the Democratic rhetoric is really critical of big tech.
In our last minute here on this final day, what are you most looking forward to hearing?
You know, I really wonder what happens after here. Again, there was a lot of exuberance. And so seeing kind of who's right in the next 6 months about the actual direction of markets and who was prepared for it. I've peppered a bunch of CEOs already about how they're preparing for the next downturn. And I've got to say, I didn't get a lot of answers back.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Well, we're definitely looking forward to more of your coverage and the rest of our team at the World Economic Forum in Davos. Bloomberg Radio and Television finance correspondent Shanali Bosick with us from the slopes this morning. Stay warm, Shanali. Good having you with us this morning. Right now, S&P futures are higher by almost 7 points. Dow futures, a gain of 66. NASDAQ futures, higher by 28 points. We are seeing some strong gains in European equity markets this morning on the latest economic data out of the Eurozone. The 10-year is down 2/32 in the U.S., and the yield on the 10-year Treasury note close to 1.74%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are higher to close out a trading week that's been gripped by a deadly virus in China. The country is taking steps to stop the outbreak and is now restricting travel for 40 million people. Begin more from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
Cases are now emerging in 32 of China's 34 provinces, one patient as young as 10 years old. And of course, this has spread all across Asia with cases in Singapore, Vietnam, Japan, South Korea. Even though they are instituting this nationwide screening, some infected patients aren't even showing a fever, which shows that the screening and catching of this pathogen is going to be harder than was initially expected.
The virus is blamed for at least 25 deaths, even as the World Health Organization stopped short of calling it a global health emergency.
On the economic front, euro area growth remains sluggish to start the year, despite signs of a pickup in Germany. A composite purchasing managers index for the region held at 50.9 in January, coming in below estimates. France was a drag on the reading as labor strikes hit the services sector.
Here in the U.S., we get PMI data for January at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast an unchanged composite reading of 52.7.
Shares of Intel are up almost 6.5% in early trading. The chipmaker reported earnings that topped estimates and gave a bullish forecast for the year. Here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The quarter suggests personal computer demand remains strong and purchasing by data center owners has come surging back. Intel said sales in 2020 will be about $73.5 billion. Analysts were looking for $72.2 billion on average. Fourth quarter revenue also beat the highest Wall Street estimates. Results are being lifted by strong growth in data center chips and steady demand for PCs. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And coming up today, we get earnings from just four companies in the S&P 500, with American Express headlining that list. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 7 points. Dow futures up 67. NASDAQ futures up about 30. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 1.74%, and the yield on the 2-year at 1.52%. NYMEX crude oil is falling down 0.6% or 31 cents at $55.28 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $6.90 at $15.64.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1032 against the dollar, British pound 1.3083, and the yen at 109.61. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Life's an adventure. Experience it in the new Land Rover Discovery Sport. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. Now here's Michael Barr.
Thank you, Nathan. Democratic House prosecutors have made their argument at President Trump's impeachment trial that he abused power like no other president in history. The Democrats say Trump demanded that Ukraine investigate his rival Joe Biden while he withheld crucial military aid as leverage. Lead prosecutor Adam Schiff told senators in a late-night speech, right matters.
No one is really making the argument Donald Trump would never do such a thing. Because of course we know that he would, and of course we know that he did.
Democratic Senator Mazie Hirono of Hawaii.
I think that this is what a bully does, and President Trump exhibits all of the manifestations of a bully.
Also, while during a break, Republican Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa criticized the Obama administration for denying aid to Ukraine.
These House managers did nothing of the sort to provide that assistance to Ukraine, and yet now they are on their high horse about President Trump not doing enough for Ukraine.
Trump's defense team is waiting its turn, which will begin on Saturday. Alan Dershowitz, a member of Donald Trump's legal team and Harvard Law professor emeritus, spoke with Bloomberg's June Grasso about the Democrats' impeachment case against the president.
Is there any president who couldn't be impeached if the House of Representatives had a majority of the other party than the president? I think it's a very dangerous precedent to set to allow a president to be impeached on abuse of power. I'm going to present a list of presidents who have been accused of abusing their power when I speak on Monday.
Today, the Democrats will press their final day of arguments. A new national poll shows Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders running neck and neck among the Democratic presidential candidates. The 7 News Emerson College poll shows the former vice president with 30% support, followed closely by the Vermont senator at 27%. Wildfires burning across Australia probably will push the increase in global carbon dioxide emissions past their record this year. The Met Office, which is Britain's official forecaster, said the fires may have an influence on weather patterns. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashard.
Nathan out with the old, in with the new at the Australian Open. 38-year-old Serena Williams ousted in the third round, her earliest departure down under since 2006. She had 56 unforced errors. She lost to Wang Qiang of China less than 5 months ago. The two played at the U.S. Open, and Serena won 6-1-6 love. This time, Qiang won 7-5 in the third. So she moves on, as does the still only 15-year-old Coco Gauff. What she did last year at Wimbledon, obviously no fluke. Gauff took out the Aussie Open defending champion Naomi Osaka straight sets. Roger Federer is tied one set all right now with John Millman. Golf, Torrey Pines, one of Tiger Woods' favorite courses. He shot 69 his first round of 2020.
Oh, I definitely was feeling it. I missed the competition, the competing, and trying to keep everything as calm as I possibly could. I didn't do a very good job of that starting out. You know, I made a quick bogey there and early, and I felt like I fought back, and a lot of positives hit into the South course.
Tiger three shots off the lead. In Brooklyn, LeBron James led the Lakers over the struggling Nets, 128-113, 27 points, a triple-double, and with just 15 more points, LeBron moves into third place on the NBA's all-time scoring list, passing Kobe Bryant. He would then trail only Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. The Nets have lost 5 straight, 10 of the last 12. The contract finalized. The Mets will introduce their new manager, Luis Rojas, today. That presser will come just after the one where the Giants say goodbye and thanks for the memories to Eli Manning. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Deadly viruses aren't pharma's top priority. Why not? I'm Max Neeson, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Drug makers have made significant advances in recent years. Unfortunately, their ability to combat potential pandemics isn't included. Big Pharma is increasingly focused on expensive medicines for conditions like cancer. Those efforts can come at the expense of less lucrative work in the service of public health. A deadly outbreak in China has reminded the world of the threat of new diseases. It's past time to make sure that the world has the medical firepower that it will need. Only 4 of the world's biggest drug makers have major vaccine units. While the virus is behind the latest outbreak, drug-resistant bacteria are a serious long-term threat, and few companies are developing antibiotics. Public efforts fill some gaps, but can't do it all in current budgets. Getting medicines to the finish line requires private company expertise that's becoming less widespread. Blockbuster drug sales motivate big pharma, and little else moves the needle for them. Revenue potential for infectious disease drugs is inherently limited, alongside more funds for public efforts and basic research. This virus may not be the big epidemic we fear, but we need to build a system that's up to the challenge when one emerges. I'm Max Neeson. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
If you manage a distillery, a cemetery, or dozens of other types of small businesses, you may be exempt from OSHA safety inspections this year. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration released its updated list of industry groups exempt from most types of OSHA safety inspections if the employer has 10 or fewer workers. Businesses with 11 or more workers don't qualify. The list is expected to remain into effect until another directive is issued in about a year. In addition to distilleries and cemeteries, other newly added industry groups include siding construction contractors, coffee and tea manufacturers, grease manufacturers, paint makers, furniture wholesalers, bakeries, taxi companies, and dentist offices. OSHA issues the list annually to comply with federal law exempting small businesses and safer-than-average industries. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
All right, John, thank you. Coming up this morning, we get earnings from American Express. Let's get a preview now from Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
An increase in card spending, which drives about half of Amex revenue, could mean spending growth will exceed expectations of 6%, according to Bloomberg Intelligence. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a profit of $2.01 per share on revenue of over $11.3 billion. Corporate card spending may have rebounded late in the year as trade tensions eased and holiday sales exceeded expectations, especially for high-end consumers. Although its card loan loss rate is rising, it remains the lowest among its peers. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry. And Jamie Dimon is being rewarded for another record profit for J.P. Morgan Chase. The CEO is getting more than $31 million in compensation for 2019. $25 million of that comes in restricted stock tied to performance. S&P futures higher by 7.5 points. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures a gain of 31.5. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Sign up for free at PortfolioAnalyst.com. Futures higher this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing right now, with Dow futures up 70 points, S&P's gained 7, and NASDAQ futures rise by 30. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.74%. Gold is trading lower by 4. And Shanghai was closed overnight for the Lunar New Year, while European markets are posting at least 1% gains this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing and services PMIs. After the bell last night, Intel boosted its forecast. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, look for American Express to report around 7:30. In deal news, Qorvo and Skyworks are said to be weighing bids for Broadcom's wireless chip business, which may fetch $10 billion. And wrapping things up, Google's price target raised to $17.69. over at KeyBank. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the gender gap in President Donald Trump's approval rating is a wide 19 percentage points in a new poll.
A 7 News Emerson College poll of registered voters nationwide found 57% of men approved of the job that President Trump is doing, while only 38% of women approved. It comes as the impeachment trial against the president continues today. China has moved to lock down at least 3 big cities in an unprecedented effort to contain the deadly new virus that has sickened hundreds of people and spread to other parts of the world. China's National Health Commission confirmed 830 cases of coronavirus with 25 deaths, including an 80-year-old man who died after returning from a stay in Wuhan, the epicenter of the outbreak. In the NBA, the Nets lost, the Wizards won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, thanks, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:49 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in the nation's capital include President Trump promising a Middle East peace plan before he hosts Israeli leaders at the White House on Tuesday. President today addressing the anti-abortion rights March for Life in person. That'll be a first for the annual event. And Joe Biden running neck and neck with Bernie Sanders in the latest national poll. Also making news, of course, one more day of arguments for House managers in President Trump's Senate impeachment trial. Joining us now, Brown University political science chair Wendy Schiller. Of course, the House Democrats have had all week to tell their side. What do you make of the arguments that they've laid out for Senate jurors this week, Wendy?
Well, they've been pretty straightforward in the argument, right? I mean, it's basically abusive power, abusive power, abusive power. So they've stayed away from terms like, you know, crime or broken the law, per se. That's not what the Constitution says about impeachment. Basically, the House can decide what, you know, crimes and misdemeanors are, and abusive power is generally considered to be one of the foremost things the framers were worried about. So I think they've stuck to message. I think they've been smart about that, because anything that comes out of this has to be easily digestible for most voters, and that's an easily digestible concept, abuse of power, and the sort of image of the president on the phone sort of bullying and trying to extort a government is pretty cemented, I think, now from their procedure. Whether that's persuasive to remove him from office is a whole other ballgame, but I think it's been a pretty disciplined exercise by the Democrats so far.
Well, that raises the question of whether this is about removing the president from office by the Senate or voters removing the president from office in the election in November. Do you get a sense of how this argument might be resonating with voters as they think about that decision in just a few months?
Yeah, I think the Democrats are making the case that he's unfit for office. He's abused the power. And if you put him back in, he'll continue to abuse the power. And the other side, Republicans are saying he's president of the United States. He was conducting foreign policy. It's within his purview. So if you like him as president for other reasons, you have to live with this, because this is what presidents do. This is how powerful presidents are. And that's the argument they'll make. And whether that resonates with enough of these key voters in a small handful of states, 6 or 7 states, that's a big question mark. The other risk now that the Republicans will put their case up is, you know, if the president's lawyers go too far rhetorically, then the people who are running against the vulnerable senators in some of these states like Colorado, Arizona, North Carolina, and Maine, among others, they're going to use that in a campaign against those senators. So it's a little tighter of, you know, it's trickier for the Senate, particularly now with the Republicans. You know, you want to rile up the Trump base and defend him vigorously, but if you go too far rhetorically, that's just fodder for some of these pretty strong challengers the Democrats are putting up against these senators.
Well, of course, a lot of the talk has been about whether Susan Collins, the Republican from Maine, is vulnerable. Also plenty of discussion about Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. What other vulnerable senators are you looking at as, you know, we come to the possibility of a shift in power in the Senate in 2020?
Yeah, Cory Gardner from Colorado, I think is, you know, I think he's got a 36 or 37% approval rating. I think Tom Tillis has lower than 40% approval rating in North Carolina. North Carolina is a weird state. It can shift. You know, it's a Democratic governor and a slight majority Republican legislature right now. But, you know, if there's a big enough turnout among Democrats, that can flip that seat. Martha McSally, I think she lost the last election barely and then was put into office by a Republican governor to replace John McCain. So now McSally may face Mark Kelly, astronaut versus, you know, Air Force pilot. So I think you are a military woman. I think these are tough seats to defend for the Republicans. And when you're looking at the kinds of money that some of these challengers are already raising, you know, on the Democratic side, you know, there are going to be formal races, and this will contribute to it. And will voters decide Trump could win, that he may win, and then they decide they want a stopgap against him? So you could see split ticket voting higher in 2020 than you did before, because now people have had a chance to see Trump. Oh, he's going to get elected. Let's make sure that there's a backstop against him. And that's another thing that would be a headwind against some of these Republican senators keeping their seats.
The House managers have been trying to make the case for calling witnesses in this trial. What's the political risk if witnesses are allowed in the impeachment trial and it drags on for another couple weeks?
Nathan, I think there's an Achilles heel for the Democrats here. I don't know if Hunter Biden did anything wrong. I don't know if there was a conflict of interest. I have no idea about that. I'd like to know more about that. So the problem is, if you push on witnesses and you push hard on witnesses, then the country says, well, wait a minute. Why don't we hear about Hunter Biden, what he did in the gas company board? Like, was there something to investigate? And then you really drag it in. I don't think Joe Biden has to come in, but I think it's a real Achilles heel for their argument and a risk for them that they don't want to take. So they're saying it because they know the Republicans won't call the witnesses, I think, and they'll claim executive privilege on the president's team. But it's also a risk for the Democrats, because then voters can say, why can't we hear from these other players? Why can't we hear they say under oath that there was nothing to investigate? And I think it opens up a much bigger issue for them going into 2020.
And if you have the possibility of witnesses like Hunter Biden coming in, I mean, what does that mean for implications for the 2020 primary race with Joe Biden running you know, potentially against Bernie Sanders? I mean, that's the way things seem to be looking out at, or shaking out in the latest polling.
Well, you know, one of Hillary Clinton's weaknesses, and there were several in the primaries that lend her to be vulnerable to Bernie, but then also to Trump, was that people didn't want more investigations. They felt the Clintons had sort of brought with them an administration of investigations, and people thought, no more investigations. We're tired of it. We don't want all this. And I think that could filter into the Democratic primary process against Biden among some voters who are torn, saying, wait a minute, Bernie's Bernie, but we think we know everything about Bernie. But now there's this new thing about Biden. Will that compromise him against Trump? Will he just do a lock him up all over again? And will that render Biden more vulnerable than Bernie? And I think that's real. And I think that is a real risk, not only for Biden, but also for the Democrats, if this gets really drawn out in terms of the nomination contest.
I want to ask you in our last minute or so here about the arguments we're expecting today on the House manager's side, the focus on obstruction of justice, that article of impeachment. What are you going to be looking for?
Well, I think that's a real signal sending to voters over the age of 60 who vote in some of the highest turnout levels, right? We're looking at 65% to 72% of those voters vote in 2020 in presidential elections. So that's basically bringing up Nixon. That's just saying to that group of voters, and they slide a little bit towards Republicans as a whole, but generally, look, do you want Nixon again? We didn't stop him the first time. You know, this is Nixon-like. That's going to, and it won't resonate, I don't think, with anybody under 60 who doesn't really remember the, sort of that whole Watergate trauma for the country. But it's another political move for the Democrats in terms of positioning themselves for 2020.
Oh, great. Always great getting your insights, Wendy, as this impeachment trial continues in the Senate. Thanks so much for being with us this morning. That's Wendy Schiller, Brown University's political science chair, joining us this morning ahead of the third day of House manager arguments in the impeachment trial. Of course, we will have full coverage and analysis throughout the day and as the trial continues here on Bloomberg Radio. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. S&P futures, they are higher this morning, up 8 points. Dow futures up 76 and NASDAQ futures up 34. The DAX in Germany also jumping up 1.4%, while the CAC in Paris is up 1.1%, and the FTSE 100 is up 1.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.74%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.52%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 23 cents at $55.37 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $7.10 at $15.64.50 an ounce. And Bloomberg surveillance live in Davos with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. That's straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.